podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Talk Skills Podcast. My name is Simon. Today I'm joined by Jed. Say hello, Jed.
All right, mate.
Say hello, Billy Boy.
Hello, mate. You're right.
Not too bad at all. I think we'll start with the obvious. The obvious news being that Thomas Tuchel has been sacked as Chelsea manager. I'm a little surprised. I thought because they'd spent so much on acquiring players for his system, essentially, that they were maybe going to see out these, I don't want to say tough times, because Chelsea aren't really that in that much of a bad spot. You know, it's quite early on in the season. They can quite clearly bounce back, and they do have a wee bit of injuries as well. But yeah, he's gone. He's gone now. And apparently it was nothing to do with the Champions League game that was last night for us, where Chelsea lost to Dinamo Zagreb. And it was all to do. It was coming, which is a little strange because they did win against West Ham at the weekend there. Albeit they didn't play magnificent, but, you know. I'm going to come at you, Billy Boy. Where do you stand? Because the main manager that's been linked, Graham Potter, is a manager you've been raving about since I've known you. And that was before even Brighton, you know, were in a Champions League spot, as they are now. what are your thoughts?
First of all, I was shocked with the news, as was everyone, I think. No one was really expecting it come 10 o'clock UK time, I think. Wasn't it when it was announced? It was.
We're all waiting for Rodgers sacked. The next thing you
yeah,
you
know, exactly. Yeah, you think it's El Sacico Villa against Leicester, don't you? So he's expecting one of them to, but Chelsea just coming out of nowhere like they do, I suppose. I couldn't really believe it, to be honest with you. You know, how much have they spent? 270 million, something like that. It's just ridiculous. Then you sack him a week after the window closes. It's honestly, it's a bit comical. But to be honest with you, I'm a little bit surprised. Well, I'm not surprised, but I am surprised that they're going for Graham Potter, because to me, this Ted Bowley fella just seems as if he wants the big names, and Graham Potter isn't necessarily that. When you've got the likes of Zinedine Zidane without a job, Mauricio Pochettino, you know, and then all of a sudden he's going for Graham Potter. It just seems to me, certainly with some of the players that they've been linked to as well, Chelsea during the summer, the likes of Neymar, that kind of thing. I'm kind of expecting them to go for a big name manager. As it happens, it turns out that they are seriously looking at Graham Potter, which, fair enough, he's a sensational manager. We all know
apparently,
it. The football that he plays is just...
This is how serious they are, Billy. Apparently, official contact was made with Brighton 30 minutes after the news of Tuchel sacking. So that says to me, right, he's top of the list. Who do you go to first? Do you go to the man that's top of the list? Apparently, there is talk that they might meet Pochettino. There's nothing guaranteed to say they're going to meet Pochettino, but they are for 100% meeting Graham Potter.
Go on, Jed.
I think that going to Chelsea might be a mistake for Graham Potter. I really do. Unless they're going to give him time. Like, you can't expect instant results, I think. And that you look at what he's done with Brighton, that's been built over the last couple of seasons. Are they going to give him a couple of seasons if he doesn't deliver a trophy or, you know...
Not exactly for it, have they? You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I know there's new ownership and everything like that, but as they've shown here by sacking Tuchel, old habits die hard. Because you're six games into a season. Yes, they've just lost in the Champions League. They've lost the first group game. There's still five games to play. They'll still qualify out of that group, I'm pretty certain. They're six in the table. It's been a pretty open start to the season. And even though they haven't been at their best, they're still in the top six. Like, at the moment, like I said, like Billy said as well, it seems like a really strange time to sack a manager, especially after you've just spent so much money in the transfer window. What was the point in that? So has he had any in the signings or
especially
what?
When they sign Aubameyang, you think, well, he's Tuchel's man. You know, they played he played some of his best football at Dortmund under Tuchel. That's a signing that only makes sense because of Tuchel. I don't think Aubameyang makes sense for me without him, really. Especially when you've just had Amanda Broha sign a long-term deal. You get Sterling, it's probably... And you get Kai Havertz that's going to play for the middle, but I like as good for him. I'd probably Sterling as the biggest. I know Sterling does his best job out on the left, but they're not completely short of players that can go through the middle. You know, even getting rid of the likes of Timo Werner and stuff like that. I don't know if Aubameyang's the answer to instant success at Chelsea. Maybe is, maybe isn't, but it only really made sense in my mind because of Tuchel.
I completely agree. And when I mean, Aubameyang said himself that he's really looking forward to linking up with Tuchel again. And what, it lasted 59 minutes. It just seems a bit, I mean, we're laughing about it here. It just seems a bit comical.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
Especially because they've been planning
sense.
This. Apparently, the noise that's been made is they were planning, regardless of the Dynamo Zagreb result, he was getting sacked. And Aubameyang was only signed recently, you know?
Yeah. Only a week ago, wasn't it? It was a deadline day signing, I think. So. Mm-hmm.
It's just bizarre timing.
Very strange,
it's just really bizarre timing. Like Billy said as well, we were sat here thinking, who's it going to be, Gerrard or Lampard, to get sacked first? And we've got Scott Parker's gone and Tuchel's gone in the space of a week. Like, yeah. Nobody's seen it coming. But it just,
I was waiting for Rodgers, man.
So
I would have put money on Rodgers being next to go because
Rodgers, yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah,
because
Leicester on and a bit, yeah. Oh, Lampard, I can't believe you said Lampard. In, you know, he's Mr. Everton right now, you know what I mean?
They're all in the same boat, aren't they? They're like the new Steve Bruce and Alan Pardew.
It's going to be outrageous now.
To be fair, yeah.
The new boys.
It is like they're all in a horror movie, and it's not one of them, then they all kind of die at once. It's like every 10 minutes, one of them has to go, you know? Until it's fucking Gerrard and Lamps just holding together for fucking dear life. Oh, dear me. It doesn't make sense to me. I mean, although, right, the natural progression for Graham Potter is a job like this. I don't think, because I think, see, if you're a club that's doing well in the Premier League, any team that's not in the top six, bar Newcastle, as a sideways move, you know. Yeah. I know Billy's a manager that you've probably wanted at Villa since Dino was there, you know, and thought that would be, you know.
But in recent, well, I completely agree. Absolutely, that is the case. I always felt that it was unlikely when he was taking Brighton where they are.
Yeah,
you know
it
I mean?
Was
if he was to get rid of Gerrard now. Mm-hmm. Then I don't see us getting Graham Potter where he's at with Brighton. If Brighton was still down fighting for relegation, if you like, when they were still playing nice football but just not getting the results, then you can maybe look at it and think, yeah, he'd work wonders with us, and he would probably see it as a step up then.
That's when you wanted
him. Yeah,
when
exactly.
When it was a feasible move.
When he's fighting for Champions League football with Brighton like he is now, it's never going to happen.
Exactly. I mean, yeah, I think... And normally the step that these managers, they don't normally go straight to like a Chelsea or a Liverpool or a... Well, maybe in a Liverpool and maybe 10 years ago, but not certainly not today's Liverpool. And then it would sort of be Spurs or Arsenal would be the kind of... That entry point, like your Mikel Arteta going to, and then Nuno going to Spurs, they moves are like the natural progressions for people in football that are making a success for themselves, and they need a step up. But the jobs are just aren't available. Mikel Arteta's got Arsenal playing some very nice football. Clearly, there's a vision there, and Antonio Conte actually looks as if he's got this Spurs side almost to where he wants it to be. You can see that he is just. I feel like Conte really is just. Three or four players short of exactly what he wants, which it would be annoying for anything that's with title hopes. You know what I mean?
It's interesting though, isn't it? Like, because it does seem like an uncharacteristic move for Chelsea to go for.
He's not a manager that I would associate
in the league.
Yeah,
like they would never really go after a manager from another Premier League club. Like when have they ever done that in the last like 20 years? They go for. The big names, you know, within Europe,
the biggest
the ones
names
who
in
gone
Europe,
and won the trophies. You know, they've had your Mourinho's, your Ancelotti's, and Conte's, etc. Tuchel himself was a big name, you know, in European football when they brought him in. So it just seems strange that they're going for him. But then again, I guess it also sort of signifies the new Chelsea, if that makes sense. Well, they're trying to build, maybe trying to build something instead of, you know, just bringing in.
Yeah,
names.
I think the reason
signings don't really match that.
Yeah, they want a change in culture. They want, you know, they want a sort of Pep type. They want a Klopp type. The managers that have been there for a while and established themselves at teams and had success. And you know, you look at Mikel Arteta and he's right on the edge, and he's already won silverware at Arsenal, so there's no pressure to getting that first trophy over the line, you know. I think that kind of eases the pressure off Mikel Arteta to kind of take his time and do it, you know. And I think a lot of clubs, I think see fast rotating managers is slowly but surely going out of fashion. Kind of going out of fashion. I think all
someone
clubs want that. Unless you don't do it.
That's why they're going out of fashion. Watford are the prime example of how not to do things.
Four managers in a season still go down, you know. I think that's what all the big teams want. They want stability, they want consistency, they want...
It's the project manager now,
That's what it is about. Whereas, honestly, when I was like, you know, a teenager, a kid, it would just be success or sacked. That would be it. And then you get the next one, and then the next one, and then the next one. And there was never, apart from like Sir Alex and Wenger, you know, there was never that sort of long project at the time. And the sort of settling at the noughties and in early 2010s, but you know, there was always just that hunger for, particularly the sort of the big four, and then which became the big six. But I could see why. Because he is fantastic, Graham Potter. Even when he wasn't having the success at Brighton he's having just now, or started the season as well as he has now, he still was playing very, very attractive football at Brighton, and still keeping their heads above water, which is hard to do. It's hard to play if you're not got those big money signings. It's hard to play attacking football in the Premier League and, you know, have stability at the same time. You know, a lot of the time you can kind of go the way of Leeds, like Bielsa's Leeds, it was fine for a while, and then it just tipped, you know, but they were still good at teams, you know.
The only thing that held them back was they couldn't put the ball in the net, wasn't it? Like they had, like Brighton were like the XG kings of the Premier League, weren't they, for a season a couple of years ago. They just had so many chances and just couldn't score. Like if they had, they'd have been, you know, they'd have been pushing for Europe probably at that point, which is like massive. Yeah. So yeah, he's, like, the job he's done there is incredible. It definitely warrants the opportunity to go somewhere else, I think, and kick on. Though I think if you're a Brighton fan, you'd be very disappointed to lose him.
You'd be disappointed, but you'd know that it's coming. It's coming at some point that he's going to move on. It's annoying that it's in the middle of the season, and that's another reason as to why I wouldn't have thought that Villa would have been able to get him, because I would imagine he himself would like to see, let's just see where I can get to at the end of this season, and then come the summer, I'll have a look at my options, that kind of thing.
I feel bad for Brighton fans, because it's like you quite obviously want success, and it's like not too much success. Before you know it, you've went from in a Champions League spot to fucking Dyche's in charge or something, you know, and then it's like
that lovely
fluid football kind of goes, and then
imagine. Do you know the one thing that I do want to happen if Potter does go to Chelsea is Danny Welbeck to Chelsea.
He'd deliver.
Yeah. He'd do a job.
I mean, it kind of is ridiculous to see what Potter has brought out in these players. I mean, obviously form has tipped. I mean, Trossard's went from being, you know, a very solid player in the Premier League to being like, you know, consistently hitting the target. And obviously he's probably outperforming his actual ability just now. Same with players like Alexis McAllister. You know, these aren't players that are there to light up the Premier League, but he seems to just kind of have now got them to just kind of switch that form and a wee bit of consistency. And I think by adding the players to kind of add them a wee bit of competition in those positions, you know, I think, you know, Trossard really has to play for his place now, and so does players like McAllister. And, you know, you get, he's having success in the Premier League with Danny Welbeck and Adam Lallana, both players that are fantastic players that kind of horrific injury records, and you've got to kind of like, and the fact that they're able to let players like Neil Maupay go, it was just that sort of like, bottom third, you know, that bottom, not bottom of the league, but like, you know, sort of like 20th to 14 level striker, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's like your 8 or 9 goals a season.
He's not going to push you to Europe.
But he might keep you up.
Yeah.
So
I think for me now, Brighton can go one of two ways. There's two routes for them to go down. They will employ a Scandinavian manager who will just continue to do what Graham Potter's done and to push them and to just keep them going, or they'll be near relegation candidates. That's just
there's no in between, is there?
No. It's like they're going to continue with some unknown fella that they've brought in from Norway, or they're just going to drop like a rock. And I just can't see them sitting like 12th or something. It's just going to be, it's either 17th or 6th.
I mean, who did Brighton realistically get
in? I want to see them bring in some complete random. Like Billy said, I really want to see them bring in just some random guy.
I really think they will.
He's been coaching somewhere out in the sticks, and he's been doing a great job. He's won the Finnish Premier League 20 years in a row or something like that. And like, they bring him in.
Exactly.
And then, like, they bring him in and he just takes the league by storm. Like, I'd love to see that happen.
They still finish in a Champions League spot.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
Yeah, excellent stuff. Yeah, I mean, maybe they go and pinch another Premier League manager, you know, get Thomas Frank, something like that, you know. Wouldn't be the worst.
Oh, I don't know about that.
I don't know, he's Brentford through and through.
Yeah. I don't know who they'd go for. If they went for somebody in this country, I don't know who they'd go for. They might look to the Championship for someone. You don't know, really. Like, there's got to be a list of options, hasn't there? And I'm certain that at somewhere, somehow, Sean Dyche is on.
It'll end up Scott Parker. That guy just keeps falling upwards, man. I don't know. just keeps fucking.
Apparently, to be fair, he's supposed to be really highly rated, isn't he? Within the within the little group of coaches.
Yeah. Well, he's not a bad manager.
Imagine Roy Hodgson out of retirement or something for it. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Just to steady the ship a bit.
Yeah. I'm not
We'll give you a couple of weeks until the international break, Roy. We're just going to try and find someone for the long term.
For obvious reasons, you cannot consider Roy for the long term. Do you know what I mean? Like, plainly obvious reasons.
It's a project manager.
And I'm not sure how well received it would be by the Brighton fans.
Oh, good.
I'll tell you what, Lewis Dunk, player manager,
something like that.
He's got to have taken in what Potter's been doing for the past few years. Yeah. I'm sure he'd be able to tell them what to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Graham, we're in this situation. What do we do?
They just turn up at a training ground and it's like, just pretend Graham's here. You know? Just pretend he's over there.
You've been doing the same thing for the past 5 years, man. Yeah. Just do it again.
He's just there going, what would Graham do? What would Graham do? What would Graham do?
Do you know what I would do? I would pay a lookalike Graham Potter to just
just
pretend he's still here. Just pretend he's still here. Just keep doing what you're doing. You know, it's really not that hard.
What are you talking about? He didn't leave.
He's right here.
No, the lookalikes at Chelsea.
Gary Potter.
The lookalikes at Chelsea, lads. This is still me.
Yes.
Lewis. I would never forget your birthday. It's me. It's real.
Christ. Well, we've done 20 minutes just on a Chelsea and Brighton. So I don't know who Brighton are going to get in. It'll probably be Dyche or Parker. Or maybe they will go abroad. I'm really not sure. But I am fairly certain at this point that something has to go wrong for Chelsea not to get their man. Is it a good appointment? I think so.
For Chelsea, it is, yeah. But like I said, they have to give him time, though. They have to give him the time.
There's going to be reservations about working with egos all of a sudden. You know, he's gone from working with Danny Welbeck to working with Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang.
Yeah.
Who's gone from one of the nicest guys in the Premier League to one of the most.
Weller's never given this attitude.
Yeah.
You know. Danny Welbeck's not napping off to France when he wants.
Thiago Silva, I don't care how many caps you got for Brazil. you play like your Lewis Dunk, and that's all I want. Yeah.
Mate, he just brings all the band with him, you know?
Yeah. Mason Mount, who? Alexis McAllister, you come in. Fuck him off to Brighton. Fucking Mason.
And a swap
man.
Deal. And a
who
swap
does
deal.
He think he is?
To be fair, man, like, you could just plant Dunk right in the middle of, like, Koulibaly, Thiago Silva, you know, just like,
Fofana.
No, he's gone. He's out of the picture. I do think it's a good appointment. But we'll talk about some of the results from the weekend, boys. We obviously were delayed in bringing out an episode. We kind of got caught up in all our own individual stuff. So a midweek review, here we go. I mean, the Merseyside finished 0-0. Surprisingly, there's plenty of chances. Liverpool still struggling. Frank, you'll probably, I think if he was offered a point, would have probably bit your hand off it before the game. Tottenham beat Fulham. Fulham weren't too bad at all. I think Mitrovic scored a very good goal as well.
Yeah, fantastic finish.
Yeah. Bournemouth, shocked Forest. I don't know what happened to Forest. The collapse was absolutely awful, though.
Jake mentioned about Nico Williams's clean sheet in the group chat. That's what happened.
I just hope
they can hold on to this clean sheet now. Bang, Philip Billing getting 30-yard screamer.
To be fair,
it's not because of that. It's not because of that. It's because I had money on Forest, so I was at Norwich. I was at Norwich away, and we played cards before, basically, and we all pick a game. This game that we play, there's no winners, there's only a loser, and whoever loses has to put money in the pot. And then we put money on an accumulator, and all of our results were coming in the second half on a six-fold accumulator, which would have returned about 700 quid. And trust Forrest to go and throw it away.
That must have been painful to watch.
It was the cash out was up to about 200 quid, and we were all sitting there like, let's let it run. And then it just turned over in the space of about 10 minutes. We're like, we should have took the money.
Bet365 have a two-goal payout, don't they? Two goals up.
Funnily enough, it wasn't on 365.
Obviously.
My brother put the bet on Paddy Power, so yeah, I know.
Maybe you need to switch your allegiances, Jed.
It wasn't me who placed it, but yeah, it was my brother. I blame him for putting it on Paddy Power.
Shame.
Poor.
Chelsea.
Waste the money.
Chelsea beat West Ham. West Ham still struggling. I keep thinking that it's going to tip for West Ham. I feel like the squad is just too good to kid.
I mean, without dodgy VAR decisions, you could argue that it did.
Yeah.
Oh,
I was going to touch on the VAR, but I think I'm just not in the mood to go down that rabbit hole.
No, me and you both.
All we could say is I'm shocked by the officiating from the weekend.
Yeah. Can we just summarise it by just saying it's a complete mess? And,
it's a complete mess.
It needs scrapping theory. In my opinion, they should be scrapping it at this point. Like, maybe they won't scrap it mid-season, but they need to review whether it is actually improving the game or not, because there's absolutely no way on earth that that goal should have been ruled out for West Ham. No way at all.
It's borderline on the cusp of corruption, really, because like, I'm struggling to see somebody's goal, somebody's VAR decisions.
It makes you wonder, don't it?
It makes you really wonder. Like, who has got stakes in this? I mean, this is a lot of influence they have over a game of football. I feel like results were massively affected by VAR this weekend. I feel like somebody needs to get their bank checked. You know what I mean? If like the VAR ref's turning up in a chrome Lamborghini that he's bought from Aubameyang, that needs investigated, because there were some decisions that I just could not put together in my head, like why they were made, you know? The Chelsea West Ham one, obviously being the big winner. Ridiculous.
Even that Palace Newcastle one, though.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
I'm just speechless at this point. I mean, we've gone over it so many times.
It's so obviously the wrong decision as well.
Didn't Villa have one as well?
Yeah, we did.
Actually, every game did.
The thing with the Villa one was that the referee blew the whistle, so VAR couldn't get involved.
So that was the ref's fault, not. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was the ref's fault, and it will be put down as a genuine mistake.
They know not to put the fucking flag up, and they know not to blow the fucking whistle.
Exactly, which is fucking
ludicrous.
But the thing is, it'll be made out as a genuine mistake. This is what your pundits and stuff like that are saying. There was two occasions against Man City, one in the first half, one in the second half, where the referee blew early. First half, Ezri Konsa jumps for the ball against Ederson. The ball's going anywhere, could land anywhere, could go in the back of the net. As it happens, Man City clear it. But the referee blows the whistle. What? Just let that play on. If it goes in, then you review it. VAR, maybe a foul, maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
It happened twice when Villa were in a good opportunity to score. Man City go down the other end and there's a little scrap thing, whatever. And of course, he plays on. Mm-hmm. I wonder why. But anyway, yeah, I'm going to get really annoyed because, like you say, it's nothing new. It's not a new rule that's come in. This has been going on for three years now, is it? Where you just let play on. It's annoying.
The thing is, sometimes the man behind the screen, although you get a name for whoever's doing the VAR, right, and you probably know who it is, right, it's still faceless, right? So it's like this faceless influence over the game. It's massively... with a ref, I don't care, like... It's not that I don't care, but, like, if a ref's been paid off, like, you fucking see it on the pitch.
Why can't they have, like, in other sports, they have, like, an audio link up so you can hear what the referee is saying to the people in the VAR room or the Hawkeye or whatever it is in, like, how they review things in other sports. Why don't they have that?
Because they can't say, fuck it, lads, I've got 20 quid on this.
Yeah.
Or 20 grand, should I say?
Yeah.
they should, because if they explained their decision making, like that West Ham one, for example, if you could hear someone saying, no, I think the player's left his leg there. No, but if you can't, so it's not the right decision. But even if you had more explanation behind it, there'd be less outrage because you'd understand someone's thought process. But at the minute, you look at that and you think, what is the thought process? Like,
but then,
the one with Van Dijk in the Liverpool game that could have been a red card where he's over the top of the player's foot.
Yeah,
I'd like to know that should have been a red card for me, and I'd like to know why they've come to the decision of yellow because in other games that's been a red. So it's just interesting to know, isn't it? And they reviewed that one at length on Sunday in the Arsenal United game, and I think they got that right with the Arsenal goal with the foul from behind. But the people on the TV initially are saying, "Yeah, it's not a foul," and that, like Gary Neville, for example, was saying, "Yeah, it's a good challenge." And then they look at it again and they're like, "Yeah, you know, it is a foul." There needs to be some sort of way to link it to what the refs are saying as well, I think, and what the VAR room's saying, because then it just makes it clearer for everyone.
Even seeing it back, it's not fair. I thought we were meant to, because the thing is, we're meant to try and let the game flow a little bit better. I think he's kicked at him in that one.
That was my annoyance.
I thought that was a foul because he's come in from behind him and not got the ball and just nudged him over and then took the ball off. I thought that was a foul.
Eric's been too soft. I think he's kicked out. He's not. Yeah, yeah. It's like
20 of those a game. The only problem was that it ended up in a goal.
I was at Wolves Newcastle and they ruled one out for the same thing the week before like that. Yeah. So Wolves scored a second goal and it was ruled out for a foul like that in the build up. So I thought it was a pretty similar thing, which to me looked like a foul. That one's the least contentious of all of them.
But it can still be challenged.
All they need to do though is just to explain the thinking process behind it. And then it gives people an explanation or a reason why. And then if the reason why they've done it is bollocks, then you pick that apart, don't you? But like no one at the minute, we have no reason behind it. So it's just guesswork.
Well, I see what you're saying. I do agree as well, to be fair.
That's where it becomes so much of an outrage because nobody knows what's going on, what's influencing these decisions, and then you speculate why they've given it.
I can't reasonably picture in my mind anybody's explanation for, like, say the Newcastle Palace win. I can't remember the names. I think it's Willock that gets pushed in.
Yeah, it's quite clearly a Palace player that's pushing
Willock into the keeper.
Yeah,
by the way, Willock's allowed to compete for the ball. he's allowed to compete for the ball. So even if he's not that pushed, he's not pushed that much, right? If maybe he's gone a bit faster, that is a foul, but he's blatantly, there's contact from a pass player, like kind of shoving him into the keeper. I don't see, how's that? I mean, how
it's
can you explain that?
It's either a goal
that?
Or a penalty.
Yeah, exactly.
The fact that it's gone the complete other way.
What I want, though,
Simo, is for somebody to be live speaking, going, yeah, looking at that angle, it doesn't look like he's pushed him, but if you look at that angle, it looks like there's a hand in the back, so we're going to give a decision, blah, blah, blah. They're like, I don't know whether they've shown him all the right angles and stuff like that in the VAR room, but we don't know because we don't see what's going on there and we don't hear what's going on there. So that's the point I'm making, is that we need to know what's happening so we know how they're making these decisions, because then if it's a case of they're not being shown the right replays, then it's someone else's fault and it's not the VAR's fault, is it? But these are just like small details that would make that situation a lot clearer for everyone. But the fact is, we've all seen it on the telly and we all know that is a foul, isn't it? He's been pushed into a player. And it's not a foul on the keeper, which was what was given. It's ridiculous. Why would he jump into the keeper? It's just stupid, isn't it? There's a ball right there. He's going to get his head plumb on it and put his team. He's going to score. And instead, he decides to foot the ball off and jump into the keeper. How have they thought that's what happened? It's ridiculous.
The thing is, Stephen Warnock pointed out that in that instance in particular, the Joe Willock one, you can see Willock's body is arched, which would mean that he's being pushed.
He's
being pushed midair. Yeah. And this was his argument for, this is why you need X players or something involved, because they can look at that and instantly say, well, just look at the body shape. He's clearly being pushed because of the body shape. Is his body looks like a moon.
Yeah,
like it's either a goal or a penalty. Fucking give one of them.
I agree that like ex-players could be beneficial, right? But I don't think you need to be an ex-player to see that was like, I think anybody.
You just need someone with a little bit up here to see it. How can it be that we're sat here, we know what the right decision is, but the people in charge, the people who get the final say, week in, week out, are getting these decisions wrong. It just doesn't make sense. And that's what annoys us, me, everyone that loves the game of football. That's what annoys us.
Yeah.
This is why I think they even need to fix it. Like, with putting into play some of the suggestions that we're making, Premier League and FA, if you're listening. or they just need to do away with it, because clearly it's not working at the minute. Yeah. Yes, bear in mind, it does get some decisions right, but if it's not getting all decisions right, what's the point in it? Because some decisions were right before it came in. You know, let's call it 50-50 or whatever, were right before it came in. If it's 50-50 with it, it makes
there's less anger when it was just a ref, isn't it? There's still anger, but it's like
it can come.
You can feasibly understand
mistake.
If the ref hasn't seen Willock being pushed into the keeper.
Yeah,
you can feasibly. But a guy that's like watching it back in slow mo is like, yeah, that's all right. that's infuriating. He's like watching it back, probably on a big screen on a comfy chair, thinking, that's all right. And you think, mate, who is that man? Right, someone. Take him out of that studio and fucking give him a different job. Give him a brush, make him sweep up or something.
I'll do it for a living. If they said to us, lads, do you want to come and be the VAR men for the Premier League for this game? Yeah, absolutely. I'll do that for a living. I'll take it. If I get a decision wrong, I'll hold my hands up and say, yeah, fair enough, I got it wrong. But like, you know, you got to...
I'll tell you what, be great.
I don't think Walton was defending us though. Walton's not defending this. Walton has had a bit of a...
We don't need him.
Nobody needs him. I don't know why. I don't know why he's on the telly.
Oh, man.
By the way, I said 15 minutes ago we weren't going to go down this rabbit hole. And we've ended up down there.
As soon as you mention it, it's just going to carry on.
To be fair, we made it 20 minutes.
It needs to be said. These things need to be said. Otherwise, this will carry on forever.
I mean, after the weekend we've had, after the weekend we've had, we can make an exception.
I think we're going to leave it there, boys, because we're 35 minutes in. But it has been very good. It's good to be back. I think we'll be back either tomorrow or Friday with our IPL show. Thank you very much for tuning in. Make sure you follow along wherever you listen to this podcast. And until next time, cheer bye. Sports Social Podcast Network.